Okay, well, if you please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44. Our message series is called Real Answers About Heaven. And today we are looking at what the Bible tells us about our new bodies in heaven. What will our new bodies be like? And last week we left our message on sort of a cliffhanger. We said that when you die, in Christ, your body goes in the ground, but your spirit immediately goes to be with God in heaven. We said that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, which is better by far. And so the first part of heaven is the best part of heaven because we will be with Jesus. But some people think that that's all there is to heaven. You die and you go to be with God in heaven. But remember what we said last week? We said, but wait, there's more, right? There's more coming. And that more is what we're going to talk about this week, the resurrection of the body. So basically in last week's message, you lost your body, and this week you're going to get it back again. How's that? Does that sound fair? As we talk about the resurrection. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44, please stand with me now for the reading of God's holy word. The Apostle Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses and a number of others through your scriptures this morning, I pray that you would speak to us about the new bodies. Thank you for revealing this truth to us. And may we be encouraged by your word this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So is anybody here interested in a new body? New body, anyone? Okay, I see a lot of hands. That's a good response. I like that. If the diet, nutrition, and exercise industries are any indication, then I think that answer is a yes for just about everybody across our country, right? We spend a lot of time here in the United States on our bodies. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. The Bible tells us that we should be good stewards of our bodies. And so that means we should work on personal fitness. And we should be careful what we eat. But some of us put way too much emphasis on our bodies, and we spend way too much time on our bodies. But the good news I've got for you this morning is even if you never get that new body that you were hoping for in this life, God is going to take care of it in the next. Are you tired of getting tired? Are you sick of getting sick? Is getting older getting old? Okay, well then this message is for you today. Christ's resurrection, the Bible tells us, Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of our resurrection. And because Christ was raised, we will be raised. And if you are a Christian this morning, let me give you this guarantee right up front. You are going to get your new body. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to look at three very simple but important questions this morning about your new body. All three are on the outline that's in your bulletin. I'd encourage you to take that out, to follow along, take notes if you're so inclined. But here are the three questions we want to look at. When will you get your new body? Number two, what will your new body be like? And then number three, why? Why do we need new bodies anyways? What's that all about? So we're going to look at all three of those this morning. Let's get started. First of all, when will you get your new body? And the Bible is very clear on this. It's so clear. The Bible says you will receive your new body, not when you die and go to heaven. Okay, it doesn't happen then. You will receive your new body when Christ returns. It's when Christ returns. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 5. He said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice," speaking about Christ, Christ's voice, "and they will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." So when's that going to happen? When are we going to hear Christ's voice? Well, when he comes back. That's when you hear his voice, when Christ returns. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. I want you to notice the very close connection in this verse between Jesus' resurrection and ours. It's because Jesus rose from the dead that we know that we also will rise from the dead. When you put your faith in Christ, when you become a believer, the Bible says you are united with Christ, and you are united with him in his death, and that means you will also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, once again, last week we learned that when you die as a believer, you immediately go to be with God in heaven. You don't go to some type of purgatory. You don't go into some deep soul sleep, but your body goes in the ground, your spirit immediately goes to be with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, which is better by far. But wait, because there's more, right? That's where we left last week. We learned that this stage of heaven is only temporary, and we still await the resurrection. Let me tell you, as good as it is to be with Christ apart from your body, it's going to be even better to be with Christ in your resurrection body. And when is that all going to happen? When Christ returns. Now, we get an even more detailed timetable about these events when we continue in 1 Thessalonians 4. So we'll pick up now at verse 15 to 17. Paul writes, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, we who are left till the coming of the Lord, we will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, right? Jesus said, when you hear my voice, you're going to come out of the graves. The Lord will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And what will happen? The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So what's the timetable in this? First of all, the dead in Christ, those who have already died in Christ, they will rise first. Their spirits are already with God in heaven. They come with Jesus. God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Their bodies will be resurrected first. And then immediately after they receive their resurrected bodies, then those of us who are still alive at Christ's coming, we get caught up with them. And that's when you and I will get our resurrected bodies. And this is not some long, drawn-out process. The Bible says it's going to happen in an instant. We'll all be changed in an instant. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound like that. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So we will not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die, right? Some of us will still be alive when Christ returns. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And it's going to happen fast, folks. Be in the twinkling of an eye. That's how quickly God will transform our bodies at the resurrection. When will you receive your body? Whether you're dead or alive, the answer is the same. You receive your new body when Christ returns. That's our first question. Let's go on to our second question now. What will your new body be like? What's this new body going to be all about? And the Bible tells you a number of things about your new body. It doesn't leave us guessing. God fills in some of the gaps for us. First of all, it will be the same body, but different. It will be the same body, but different. It's not going to be a completely different body than what you have right now. It's going to be the same body, but resurrected and transformed. For example, we read these words from Job. We read them earlier in the service, Job 19, where Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. When do you get your new body? When Christ returns, right? So Christ returns, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And so when the Bible says you're going to get a new body, it doesn't mean something completely different or unrelated to your present body. Rather, it's new in the sense that it will be changed or transformed. Billy Graham writes, Scripture does not teach us that we will be given a second body, but rather a new body, the same body that we walked around in on earth, only transformed, bearing the likeness of Christ. It's the difference between going out and getting a new car or getting your old car repaired, rebuilt, repainted, detailed, spruced up, and revved up so that it's even better than new. And trust me, when God does the detailing on your body, your new body, it's going to be amazing. Simply amazing. So you wonder, well, how's God going to do that? How's he going to take my body that's in the grave and turn that into something beautiful and new? Well, that's what we read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Paul says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. And so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. And so God compares your old body to a seed that you put in the ground, and your new body to the plant that grows out of the seed. Once again, it's the same but different, right? There's both continuity and discontinuity between a seed and a plant. There's continuity because wheat comes from what? A wheat seed. Corn comes from where? A corn seed, right? And your new body is going to come from the seed of your old body. So it's still going to be you, but different. Just like a wheat plant is still wheat, but it's different from the wheat seed. They're both wheat, but different forms. The same body that goes into the grave is going to come out of the grave. The same number of bodies that died will be raised. As John Wesley wrote in his sermon on 1 Corinthians 15, the plain notion of a resurrection requires that the self-same body that died should rise again. Now, I'm going to be quoting quite a bit from John Wesley's sermon on 1 Corinthians 15, because it's a great sermon. It's a wonderful sermon. It actually isn't even his own sermon. He got it from somebody else. That's how good it was. He took it from somebody else and rewrote it as well. But because we don't have the original, we just have his, we'll be quoting from Wesley. Some people wonder about cremation. I got a lot of questions on that coming out of church last week. How's God going to resurrect my body if I'm cremated when I die? And I would say, well, he's going to do it the same way that God would resurrect your body if you died in a fire or if you died at sea. Once again, John Wesley helps us here. He writes, all the parts into which men's bodies are dissolved, however they seem to us carelessly scattered over the face of the earth, are yet carefully laid up by God's wise disposal until the day of the restoration of all things. God can form this dust so gathered together into the same body it was before. And that it is possible all must own who believe that God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. And then he gives the illustration of a watchmaker who's taken apart a watch and all the different pieces are on the shelf. And you and I look at it and we go, I could never put that back together again. But the master watchmaker knows where every single part is, and it's not a problem for him at all. God didn't have any trouble putting you together the first time, okay? And he's not going to have any trouble putting you back together the second time. And so when it comes to cremation or burial, the Bible does not strictly commend or forbid one or the other. And so this is a matter of conscience and personal choice. Some people prefer to be buried. Some will argue that that's the right way to go. Others choose to be cremated. All I would say is you should make your choice carefully and prayerfully before the Lord. You should be clear in your conscience, and you should not judge those who choose differently. So what's your new body going to be like? First of all, same body, but different. Same, but different. Which then raises the question, well, how's it going to be different then? What are those differences? There's a short answer to that and a long answer. I'm going to give you the long answer first, okay? That's where we'll head first here. The Bible tells us there will be four major differences between your old body and your new body. And for this, we're going to go back to the passage we started with, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 44. We read, the body that is sown, remember it's like a seed put in the ground, the body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So we're going to take a look at all four of these differences now. This is really the heart of the message today. And we'll take a look at these very closely. First of all, your old body is perishable, but your new body will be imperishable. In other words, I hate to break it to you, your current body, it's got a shelf life. Okay? You're not going to last forever. Everyone dies. And death is just the end game, because you also have to deal with all of those other things that are part of death and dying, right? Sickness and aging and decay along the way. John Wesley writes this about our current bodies. He says, of how many parts do our bodies consist? And if even just one of these be disordered, the whole man suffers. Even when our bodies are at their best, what pains do we take to answer their necessities, to provide for their sustenance, to preserve them in health? And then what time we can spare from our labor is taken up in rest, and then refreshing our jaded bodies and fitting them for work again. That's our lot in life, isn't it? Basically, our current bodies, they are unreliable. They betray us. They let us down. They are subject to sickness and decay. They're full of all sorts of aches and pains, and eventually they die. But not your new body, because your new body will never die. What did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Your new body will never die, and you'll never again experience all those things that go along with aging and dying. You're done with that. Quoting John Wesley again, we shall all enjoy uninterrupted health, both of body and mind. Someone told me, Pastor Ray, make sure you tell everybody we're not only getting a new body, but a new brain, okay? Because we really need to hear that this morning, okay? The brain's part of the body. You're getting both. And we shall be eased of all the troublesome care of our bodies, which now takes up so much of our time and thoughts. So that's the first difference. The Bible tells us about your new body. It's a big one, isn't it? The body that is sown is perishable. Your new body raised imperishable. Secondly, your old body is dishonorable, but your new body will be glorious. Dishonor has to do with embarrassment, hiding, and shame. And let's face it, all of us struggle with a certain amount of shame when it comes to our bodies. Even those supermodels that you see in the front of the magazines and the grocery store, if you read the interviews with them, they also feel insecure about their bodies. There are things about our bodies we don't like and that we would change if we could. And even for those few of us who may be perfectly happy with our bodies right now, age and illness can still take it all away. How many people on their sick beds have said, I don't want anyone to see me like this, right? There's no dignity in sickness or in suffering or in dying. And so your old body is dishonorable. But God says your new body will be glorious. And that word glory has to do with praise and honor and brightness and light. It's what Jesus said in Matthew 13, 43. He said, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And just as Moses' face shone in the tabernacle, as Jesus' whole body shone and was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration, so your new body will shine with glory and honor in God's presence. No more hiding. There'll be no more embarrassment. There'll be no more shame. You'll be perfectly happy with your new body, perfectly satisfied, perfectly comfortable in your new skin. Once again, I like what John Wesley says here too. This excellency of our heavenly bodies will probably arise in great measure from the happiness of our souls. The unspeakable joy that we then shall feel will break through our bodies and shine forth in our faces, as the joy of the soul, even in this life, has some influence upon the countenance by rendering it more open and cheerful. So Solomon tells us a man's wisdom makes his face to shine. Even in our old bodies, right? When we're filled with joy, when we're filled with God's wisdom, it makes your face to shine. You light up, right? Well, our new bodies, it's going to be even more. We'll be filled with so much joy and wisdom and righteousness and goodness from God. It's just going to be busted out of your body. And you're going to be shining in glory. So that's the second difference. The old body is sown in dishonor. The new body is raised in glory. Difference number three. Your old body is weak, while your new body will be powerful. Once again, do you ever feel tired? Yeah. Maybe you have trouble sleeping at night. Maybe That means you probably have trouble focusing during the day. Maybe you just get to the end of your day and you come home and you just feel worn out. Anybody got any aches or pains in their body today? Oh, yeah. How's your eyesight? How's your hearing? I said, how's your hearing? How many reps can you do at the gym? See, these are problems that we all experience with our current physical bodies because our old bodies, they're weak. They're weak and they're dying, but your new body will be powerful. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that's a verse for us today as well. God gives us some of that strength even now in this life. But that strength will be perfected in your new body. And that's amazing. We're used to our bodies getting weaker over time. But not your new resurrection body. The old body is sown in weakness. The new body is raised in power. And then finally, the fourth difference here, your old body is a natural body, while your new body will be a spiritual body. This is probably the most difficult to understand. In fact, probably the most misunderstood of all four of these differences. And where people get confused is they think that the word spiritual here is the opposite of physical, because we sometimes think of that. We think of something spiritual, you can't see it, it's invisible. If something's physical, then it's right there. And so when they hear Paul talk about a spiritual body, they go, well, what's that all about? They think he's talking about a non-physical body, and how does that work? Are we going to be some type of spirit beings? And that doesn't make any sense because this whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is talking about what? An actual physical resurrection. We'll be physically resurrected. So what does Paul mean here by a spiritual body? And the key to understanding this is to realize that Paul is not contrasting spiritual with physical here. Rather, he's contrasting spiritual with natural. Do you see what it says? He doesn't say that the old body is physical and the new body is spiritual. Rather, the old body is a natural body and the new body is spiritual. And what that means is this. It means that your old body, the body you have right now, the body I have right now, your old body is dominated by your old nature. Old body, old nature. That's what Paul means by a natural body. He's talking about your nature. He's talking about your sin nature. We are all born with a sin nature, and that sinful nature resides where? It's in your body. It's in your flesh. And that sinful nature makes you subject to all sorts of sinful desires that your body gives into again and again. Now, when you become a Christian, something different happens, right? The Holy Spirit comes in, and now you gain a certain level of victory over that sinful nature. You no longer have to sin. But because you still have a natural body, guess what? You're still constantly dealing with bodily temptations. What did Paul say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? You got a new spirit, but you got an old body. But the good news is this, is that your new body is not going to be like that anymore. It will not be a natural body controlled by the sin nature. Rather, it will be a spiritual body completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that means you will no longer be fighting your body to obey God. Instead, your new body is going to cooperate. It's going to work with you to obey God. Instead of the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing and the body's willing too. That is going to be amazing. We read about this in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. It says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's when you become a Christian. Christ comes in you. Your body's still dead because of sin. You still got your old body. Resurrection hasn't come yet. Body's still dead because of sin, but now your spirit is alive. You never had that before. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness, and so now you can have victory over sin. But then it goes on and says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection. See, when you become a Christian, your spirit is alive, but you still have your old body. But when you are resurrected, God is also going to give new life to your body through the Holy Spirit. And what that means is you will no longer struggle with a sin nature in heaven. But you will be perfected in Christ and you'll be given a new spiritual body instead of the old natural body you struggle with now. How's this new body going to be different from your old body? Well, we said there's a short answer and there's a long answer. I just gave you the long answer. Who wants the short answer? I'll give you the short answer now. Ready? Your new body will be like Jesus' resurrection body. Wow. That's a lot easier to remember, isn't it? Your new body will be like Jesus' resurrection body. Philippians 3 says, and by the way, this is our new memory verse, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We're going to be like Christ. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God. What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So what was Jesus' resurrection body like? Well, it was the same but different, right? It's the same body that went into the tomb, came out, but now transformed. It was still a physical body, right, with physical properties. Jesus ate food with his disciples, had breakfast with them on the beach. His disciples could physically touch him. He wasn't a spirit. He wasn't a ghost. He had a physical body. It was the same, but it was also different. Because sometimes the disciples recognized him, sometimes they didn't. And this new body had new properties, new abilities. Jesus could appear and disappear at will. What's your new body going to be like? It will be the same body but different. It will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual, and it will be like Jesus' resurrection body. So we've looked at the when. When do you get your new body? When Christ returns. We've looked at the what. What will your new body be like? Awesome. Now we finally get to the question, why? Why will we get new bodies? Why do we need them anyways? The Bible gives us three reasons why. First of all, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood here is talking about our old bodies, not our new physically resurrected bodies. That would be glorious. But flesh and blood, the old bodies we have right now, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 3. He said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And then we read in 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What are these verses saying? Number one, you cannot enter God's kingdom unless you are born again. And number two, you cannot inherit the kingdom unless you are resurrected with a new body. We cannot live with God in these old bodies of sin. But this new body that God's going to give you will be perfectly suited and adapted to your new environment for living with God in the new heaven and the new earth. So that's the first reason why we get new bodies. We need them if we're going to live with God in the new heaven and new earth. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Second reason is this. Our physical bodies are part of God's good creation. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, after God creates everything, including man and woman, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Everything God created is good, and God will not abandon his good creation. That's why there's going to be a new creation, and a new heaven, and a new earth. We read in Romans 8, verses 20 and 21, for the creation was subjected to frustration. That's what we see in our world right now, don't we? The world is not as it should be. It was subjected to frustration, but there's hope, and hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. There's going to be a new creation. Our physical bodies are part of God's good creation. And so God will give us new bodies as part of his new creation. Why will we get new bodies? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Physical bodies, they're part of God's good creation. Finally, number three, we're going to get our new bodies because sin and death must be completely defeated. Moving on in Romans 8 now, picking up at verse 22, Paul continues, we know that the whole creation has been groaning. Not only so, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, and then he defines it for us, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. That is the Christian hope, folks, that when Christ returns, we will be raised and our bodies will be redeemed. The wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. What is death? Physical death is the separation of your spirit from your body. If there were no resurrection from the dead, if your spirit just went to be with God in heaven when you died, then in a sense, death would continue, right? In fact, by definition, you would still be dead. Because that's what death is. Your spirit separated from your body. Yes, you're alive with God in heaven, but your body's still dead in the ground. What does that mean? By definition, it means you're dead. So why do we need resurrection? So we can defeat death. Sin and death must be defeated. That's why Paul says we're waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. That's the hope in which we were saved. And when does all this happen? When are sin and death finally defeated? At the resurrection, when the spirit and the body come back together. The wages of sin is death. Death is the separation of the sin and the body. They come back together, sin and death defeated. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 to 57. It's our last verse for the day. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So why are we getting new bodies? Well, we need them. If we're going to live in the new heaven, new earth, we need a new body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Getting new bodies because our physical bodies are part of God's good creation. And God is going to continue all good things into heaven. Number three, sin and death must be completely defeated. And that can only happen when our bodies are resurrected. So who's ready? Who wants their new body? I've got them right out there in a classroom. You can pick it up on the way out. You ready? Yeah, we all would do that, wouldn't we? I'm so glad we don't get our old bodies back just the way we left them, right? Who wants that? There's no hope in there. But a changed body? A body that is immortal, imperishable, glorious, powerful, no longer subject to sin, one that will never get sick or old or die again. Sign me up! I'm first in line. People, your body matters because God's creation matters. And so the Bible tells us that God will renew your body along with the whole world and all of his creation. Those aches and pains that you experience now, they are only temporary. And so when your body lets you down in this life, when you're feeling those aches and pains, when you're feeling sore, don't get discouraged. Be patient. And hope. Because if your faith is in Christ, you are getting a new body. And it is going to be amazing. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, for the encouragement and hope that it gives us, that sin and death will truly be defeated, that the spirit will not be separated from the body forever, but our bodies will be raised, new and glorious. Oh, Lord, we look forward to it in so many ways. Lord, I pray every time that we get sick or we feel those aches, those pains, every time our bodies let us down, Lord, we would just look to you and say, it's temporary. Got a new body coming. It's already on order. Lord, we so look forward to it. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.